A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
So Daniel sent us this one. He just picked up a Bosch GSB 120 Lee. He's been assembling furniture nonstop, loving the drill, and now he wants to drill cable management holes through a melamine desk. 60 millimeters, 50, maybe 30. He had one of those adjustable hole saw kits with the razor-sharp interchangeable blades. Tried it once, and now he wants to throw the thing out because it feels dangerous. Smart instinct. But he's reading online that a 12-volt drill can't handle a 60mm hole saw through melamine, and Bosch seems to want some kind of intermediate adapter piece. So the real question, is his drill actually too weak, or is this an accessory chain problem?
It's both and neither. The online advice that says 12-volt drills can't do hole saws is one of those things that gets repeated until it sounds like physics, but it's actually just a rule of thumb that nobody bothered to test. Daniel's drill can do it. The question is whether it can do it cleanly and safely, and that depends on three things that almost never get discussed together. The torque curve of a brushed 12-volt motor at low RPM, the geometry of the hole saw itself, and what melamine actually does when you cut it.
So let's start with the number that makes this whole thing interesting. A 60mm hole saw has a cutting circumference of about 188 millimeters. That's pi times 60. A standard 6mm drill bit, the kind Daniel's been using for pilot holes all week, has a circumference of about 19 millimeters, so the hole saw is engaging 10 times more cutting edge at any given moment.
10 times more material contact, which means 10 times the resistance. And here's the thing about hole saws that most people don't think about until they stall a drill. You're not just cutting at the teeth. The entire cylindrical body of the saw is inside the hole, rubbing against the walls, generating friction heat, and the deeper you go, the more chips pack into the gullets between the teeth. If you don't clear those chips, the saw binds. That binding is what kills a 12-volt drill, not the initial cutting.
And the GSB 120 Lee makes 30 newton meters of peak torque. That's the number on the box. But peak torque is a sprint, not a marathon. That's the drill's maximum output under high load for a brief moment, like when you're driving a lag screw into hardwood and the motor's about to stall. Sustained torque under continuous cutting is lower, and hole saw work is continuous cutting. You're asking the motor to hold torque at 300 to 500 RPM for maybe 20 or 30 seconds per hole, and that's exactly where a brushed 12-volt motor is weakest.
Compare it to a typical 18-volt drill pushing 50 to 60 newton meters. That's almost double the peak, and the sustained torque at low speed is proportionally higher. So the 18-volt drill barely notices a 60mm hole saw. The 12-volt drill is working at the edge of its envelope. But, and this is the part the online forums miss, working at the edge of the envelope doesn't mean it can't do it. It means you need technique.
And melamine changes the calculus in a way that actually helps the 12-volt drill. Melamine is a thermoset resin layer, about 0.5 millimeter thick, bonded over particle board. It's brittle. If a high-torque drill catches or wobbles, the sawtooth can snatch the melamine surface and chip out a crater around the hole. The 12-volt drill's lower torque means it's less likely to grab and tear out in the wrong hands. It'll stall before it destroys the surface.
That's the counterintuitive part. More torque is not always better for hole saws in brittle materials. An 18-volt drill in the hands of someone who just leans into it can snatch the saw, chip the melamine, and in the worst case, twist the drill right out of your grip. The 12-volt drill is almost self-limiting. It'll bind and stop before it breaks your wrist or your furniture.
So, the physics says 60 millimeters is borderline but achievable. Now, let's talk about the thing Daniel already figured out on his own. That adjustable hole saw kit needs to go in the trash.
He's right to be nervous. Those adjustable kits with the interchangeable blades, the ones where you slide a sharpened steel arm into a central hub and lock it at different diameters, they have two fundamental problems. First, concentricity. At small diameters, a little wobble is annoying, At 60 millimeters, a little wobble creates enormous lateral force because the cutting edge is moving in an ellipse instead of a circle. That lateral force chips the melamine, bends the pilot bit, and puts stress on the drill's chuck bearings.
And the second problem is the one that made Daniel's instincts fire. Those attachments can detach. The blade is held in place by a set screw or a friction lock. And if it works loose at several hundred RPM, you've got a razor-sharp piece of steel flying off at tangent speed. That's not a hypothetical. There are forum threads full of people describing exactly that failure mode.
A single-piece bimetal hole saw with a captive screw arbor is inherently safer. The saw body is one piece of steel with the teeth machined into it, and it threads onto a mandrel that locks positively. It can't fly apart. Daniel's instinct to buy dedicated saws per diameter instead of an adjustable kit is exactly right. It's safer, it cuts cleaner, and the saws will outlast the drill.
So let's talk about the accessory chain, because this is where Bosch makes things slightly annoying. The GSB-20 Li has a keyless chuck that accepts round shank bits up to 10 millimeters. But all saws don't have round shanks. They have a threaded center hole that screws onto a mandrel. The mandrel has a pilot bit in the center and a hex or round shank that goes into the drill chuck. So you need that intermediate piece, a hole saw mandrel.
Bosch's specific part for this is the 26785944247, which is their standard quick change hole saw arbor. It's about $15. It has a hex shank that fits directly into the drill's chuck, and it accepts hole saws with the standard threaded mount. This is the mandatory intermediate piece Daniel was reading about. But here's where it gets slightly tricky. That arbor adds length. The saw sits further from the chuck, and every millimeter of overhang amplifies any runout.
Think of it as a lever arm. The drill chuck is the fulcrum. If the whole saw is perfectly concentric, the extra length doesn't matter much. But if there's any wobble, from the arbor, from the saw, from the pilot bit, that extra length multiplies the lateral displacement at the cutting edge. At 60 millimeters diameter, you really feel it.
The solution is to use the shortest possible arbor and make sure everything is seated properly. Bosch's arbor is actually pretty good about this. It's short and rigid. Some third-party arbors are longer because they're designed to work with multiple saw brands, and those are the ones that cause problems. Stick with the Bosch arbor for Bosch saws.
And for the saws themselves, Daniel wants three sizes, 30, 50, and 60 millimeters. The Bosch Progressor line, part number 26926F36F36 for the 60 millimeter, is a bimetal saw with variable tooth pitch. Variable pitch means the teeth aren't all the same size and spacing, which breaks up harmonics and reduces chatter. In melamine, that means cleaner edges with less chipping.
Those progressor saws run about $18 each. So three saws plus the mandrel puts you around $70 total. Compare that to a $25 adjustable kit that's actively dangerous, and it's not even a question. Daniel said he felt like a few good ones would be a prudent long-term investment, and he's right. These bimetal saws will cut hundreds of holes in particle board, MDF, plywood, even soft metals. They'll outlast the drill.
And when he eventually upgrades to an 18-volt platform, which he probably will, because that's how tool addiction works, the same hole saws work with a new mandrel for the new drill. The saws are platform agnostic.
Alright, so we've established that the physics says 60 millimeters is doable, and we know what to buy. But theory doesn't drill holes. Let's talk about the technique that makes the difference between a clean hole and a stalled drill with a chip desk.
The winning method for 60mm holes in melamine with a 12-volt drill has 5 steps, and skipping any one of them is why people fail and then go online to say the drill isn't strong enough. Step 1. Score the melamine surface. Take a utility knife and trace the exact circumference of the hole. You're cutting through that brittle half-millimeter resin layer before the saw teeth touch it. The saw teeth will then cut inside your score line, and the melamine won't chip past it.
Step 2. Drill a pilot hole first. Use a standard 6mm or quarter inch twist bit to drill all the way through the desk at the center point of your hole. The hole saw's pilot bit will follow this hole, but giving it a pre-drilled path reduces the load on the pilot bit and keeps the saw centered during the critical first few seconds when the teeth are engaging the surface.
Step 3. Use the drill's low-speed setting and light pressure. The GSB-110 Ely has a 2-speed gearbox. Use speed 1, which tops out around 400 RPM, right in the sweet spot for hole saws in wood. Let the saw teeth do the cutting. If you lean into it, you pack the gullets with chips, the saw binds, and the drill stalls. Light pressure. Let the tool work.
Step 4 is the one everyone skips. Withdraw the saw every 5 to 10 seconds to clear chips. Pull the saw completely out of the hole, let it spin for a second to fling off the debris, then go back in. This is tedious. It's also the difference between success and failure with a 12-volt drill. The chips have nowhere to go inside a deep hole saw cut. They pack into the gap between the saw body and the hole wall, and that friction load spikes until the drill can't overcome it. Clearing chips resets that load.
And step 5. Stop as soon as the pilot bit breaks through the bottom of the desk. Then flip the desk over, align the pilot hole from the other side, and finish the cut from underneath. This is the melamine-specific trick. If you push all the way through from one side, the saw teeth will blow out the melamine surface on the exit side, leaving a ragged, chipped edge. Finishing from the other side gives you clean edges on both faces.
There's a forum post I came across. A DIYer drilled 50mm holes in 25mm MDF with a GSB-120 Lee using a Bosch Progressor saw and succeeded specifically because he cleared chips every 3 seconds and used the slow speed setting. MDF is actually harder on hole saws than particle board because it's denser and generates finer dust that packs tighter. If 50mm works in MDF, 60 in particle board with melamine is in range.
And for the 30mm hole, none of this matters. At 30mm, the cutting circumference is about 94mm, half the 60mm load. The drill won't even notice it. Standard technique, no chip clearing necessary, just drill through.
The 50mm is the middle child, about 157mm of cutting circumference. Use the scoring and pilot hole steps, clear chips every 10 seconds or so, and you'll be fine. It's really only the 60mm that demands the full 5-step method.
Let's talk about the safety concern Daniel raised, because it's worth naming explicitly. That adjustable kit made him nervous for good reason. But is a 60mm hole saw on a 12-volt drill actually safe? The answer depends more on the user than the tool.
A novice with a 60mm saw on a 12-volt drill is probably safer than a novice with the same saw on an 18-volt drill. The 12-volt drill will stall before it hurts you. The 18-volt drill has enough torque to keep spinning even when the saw binds, and that's when the drill body rotates instead of the bit. And now you've got a drill spinning in your hand with a 60mm saw attached. That's a wrist injury waiting to happen.
The GSB-20D, Lee also has a clutch, which is normally for screwdriving, but you can set it to a low torque limit as a safety. If the saw binds, the clutch slips instead of the drill body rotating. It's not designed for that use case, but it works as a poor man's kickback control.
The real safety upgrade is the single-piece hole saw itself. A bimetal saw with a threaded arbor is a solid unit. The saw can't come off the arbor unless it unthreads, and it unthreads in the opposite direction of rotation, so cutting actually tightens it. The adjustable kit has none of that. Daniel's instinct to throw it out isn't just preference, it's a correct safety assessment.
So here's the actionable shopping list. One Bosch hole saw mandrel, part number 26,859,4247, about $15. Three Bosch Progressor bimetal hole saws, 30mm, 50mm, and 60mm. The 60mm is part 26092,56F36, about $18. Total investment around $70. Skip the adjustable kit entirely. These three saws plus the mandrel will handle every cable management hole Daniel ever needs to drill.
And the technique, score the melamine with a knife, drill a pilot hole, use low speed with light pressure, clear chips every 5 to 10 seconds, and finish from the other side when the pilot bit breaks through. For 30mm holes, just drill. For 50, use the score and pilot steps and clear chips occasionally. For 60, use the full method.
The long-term perspective is what makes this a genuinely good investment. Those bimetal hole saws will still be cutting clean holes 5 years from now, long after Daniel has probably upgraded to an 18-volt drill. When that day comes, he buys a new mandrel for the new drill, maybe $15, and the same saws keep working. The adjustable kit would have been in a landfill within a year, either from failure or from fear.
And there's a broader point here about the tool industry's messaging. The marketing wants you to believe that 12-volt tools are for light duty and 18-volt tools are for real work, and that you need to upgrade before attempting anything serious. But the real limitation is almost never the tool's power. It's the accessory chain and the technique. A sharp, balanced, high-quality hole saw on a rigid arbor used with patience will outperform a cheap saw on a high-torque drill every time.
The flip side of that is that the 12-volt drill is working hard here. Daniel's GSB-1 TD-Lee is a brushed motor, and sustained hole sawward generates heat. If he's drilling multiple 60mm holes back-to-back, the motor will get hot, and heat kills brushed motors over time. Give the drill a minute to cool between holes if you're doing more than two or three.
And that's where the brushless upgrade matters. Bosch has been expanding their brushless 12-volt line, and brushless motors have a fundamentally different torque curve. They maintain higher torque at low RPM without the friction losses of brushes. A brushless 12-volt drill would handle 60mm holes with noticeably less struggle. The GSB-20 Lee is brushed, so it's working at the edge of its capability. But at the edge is not the same as incapable.
The question of where a 12-volt drill becomes unsafe for hole saws is interesting because it's not a fixed number. It's a function of the user's experience, the material, the saw quality, and the technique. A patient user with a sharp bimetal saw and the five-step method can safely drill 60mm in melamine. An impatient user with a dull adjustable saw and no technique can make a 30mm hole dangerous.
And melamine is actually one of the more forgiving materials for this because the particle board core cuts easily and the melamine surface, while brittle, is thin. Solid hardwood would be harder on the drill. Plywood with alternating grain directions creates more resistance. Melamine over particle board is about as easy as it gets for hole saws, which is why the 12-volt drill can manage it.
So, to answer Daniel's question directly, no, the 12-volt drill is not too weak to drill a 60mm cable management hole through a melamine desk. Yes, you need an intermediate arbor. The Bosch 260-859-4247. Yes, buying dedicated hole saws per diameter is the right call, both for safety and for cut quality. And yes, it's a prudent long-term investment.
The one thing I'd add, if Daniel's desk is particularly thick, say, more than 25mm of particle board, the 60mm hole becomes proportionally harder because the saw has to cut through more material and clear more chips. At 18mm, which is standard for most furniture-grade melamine board, it's very doable. At 30mm or more, I'd probably recommend borrowing an 18-volt drill for that specific hole.
But for standard 18mm melamine, which is what most desks and furniture panels use, the GSB-1 TD-Lee with a sharp progressor saw and the 5-step technique will get it done. Daniel's gonna have clean cable management holes and a set of hole saws that'll serve him for years.
And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The Royal Game of Ur, a board game from ancient Mesopotamia circa 2600 BC, was played on a board with 20 squares and used tetrahedral dice made from knucklebones. If you convert its typical playing time of 30 minutes into the time it would take a modern player to read the rulebook for the 1974 board game The Campaign for North Africa, which has a rulebook longer than War and Peace and an estimated playtime of 1500 hours, you could play 3000 games of Ur in the time it takes to finish one game of The Campaign for North Africa. And you'd still have time left over to dig a pit in the Atacama Desert.
Right.
Thanks, Hilbert.
The question that sticks with me is how much of the 12-volt can't do it. Advice is actually about the tool, and how much is about the fact that most people won't do the technique. The 5-step method works, but it's slow. Most people want to lean into the drill and push through in one go. And when that stalls, they blame the tool instead of the method.
And that's the real takeaway. Daniel's already demonstrated good instincts. He recognized the adjustable kit was dangerous, he's thinking in terms of long-term investment rather than cheapest option, and he's asking the right questions before drilling holes in his furniture. That's more than most people do. The drill is capable. The technique makes it work.
This has been my weird prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, tell someone who's about to drill a hole in their desk without scoring the melamine first. They need to hear it. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.